1-800-BETS-OFF.
Bears quarterback Justin Fields is weighing in on the NFL draft, saying he would take Ohio State receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba first overall if he was the general manager. Cubs Hall of Famer Ferguson Jenkins will be honored with a statue in his hometown in Ontario. Jenkins already has a statue at Wrigley Field. As Aaron Rodgers returns from his isolation retreat, there's word the Packers want him to stay in Green Bay as long as the quarterback is fully committed. I'm Doug Thompson.
For the win!
From the Jethro's Barbecue Studios, where every Thursday, Bubba's boneless wings are half price.
Score!
This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Hi, Miller and Condon. It's hour number two. Just afternoon, 5 afternoon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Kerry Miller, Bleacher Report. We'll do college basketball in a national perspective with Kerry coming up here at 12:30. Trent's Plays of the Day. Circus Sports sponsors that. Saw your tweet. You had a pretty good night personally. Did you give those out to our audience?
I did, yeah. And we had a hot one, 8-3 yesterday against the number, and we got a full slate coming up tonight, 11 games already on
so
the docket.
So save some time and get right to Wade Looking Bill because we need some time. So here he is. Wade Looking Bill joins the program. How are you, Wade Looking Bill?
Well, I was a lot better after last night, or before last night.
Yeah, really.
Iowa started the night in fourth place in the Big Ten, and they ended the night in ninth place.
It's wild, yikes, isn't it?
And there were two games played. There's in that Maryland-Minnesota debacle. But, yeah, so I'm good. I'm good.
You know what I saw last night? I used the word uninspired group of Hawkeyes on the floor last night. It just seemed like, I don't know, the compete level was obviously wasn't enough, but it wasn't there. Did you see that?
So I thought this was a game they'd get. I thought that kind of that revenge factor, that payback, you saw that against with Northwestern. You know, Iowa had beaten them by 15 or 17, and it was close, but they pulled away toward the end. Northwestern came out that Sunday and just put it on Iowa. And I think a little bit with Ohio State when Iowa played them, kind of that revenge factor, and Iowa had a good win that night at home versus Ohio State. But you're right, last night was really a strange night. And until Iowa gets things figured out on the road, how they shoot, I don't know. You know, they weren't counting on winning at Indiana, but I think if they could play that game, at least be competitive, because last night it was really ugly.
It was ugly. And when you don't shoot the basketball, that's going to happen. But now we're talking not just back-to-back games. I know those have kind of accentuated this issue right now, but basically every road game except for Rutgers, they have struggled shooting the ball, even games that they have won. In neutral floor games against Duke, against Clemson, against TCU, they have struggled to shoot the basketball. What is that, Wade? Is that just the home environment and they're that much more comfortable? Is that some mental toughness? How could a team be as good as they am at home and as bad anywhere outside of Carver Hawkeye Arena?
Usually what you see is you see teams that are, and most teams are better shooters at home, just because they're familiar with the background, the setup, and just how things are put together, so to speak. And teams usually shoot poorer or not as well on the road, but you're right, with Iowa, it is a drastic drop. Mm-hmm. Just like at Michigan State last, you know, 6 weeks ago, kind of doing some research for that game on Sunday at home, they were three of 17 from three, and I think like 6 of 13 from the free throw line. You know, I think it's a combination of, you know, this is not a great three-point shooting team. I mean, besides, you know, Peyton Stanford is a good shooter. He's had ups and downs, but everybody else is not a great shooter. I think Tony Perkins is a really good player. He slashes. I think Patrick McCaffrey could be a really good player, but he's more of a slasher. And I think that's the one thing Iowa has to do is just say, hey, for whatever reason, threes aren't dropping. You know, let's go 4 of 15 and only take 15 threes in a game, try to get to the basket more, whether it's Chris Murray, Patrick McCaffrey, and just try to get to the free throw line. Do what we do well, and that's not shooting the ball.
What did you and Trent and I are both we like Connor's game. Didn't like last night's game. He stunk last night. But he tried to. He's a leader out there, right? And he's a vocal leader. And I like that part of his game. He got after Chris Murray last night a couple of times. The cameras picked up on it, and he lit into him pretty good. Who was that guy on teams that you played for? And I guess everybody's different, but how would you have responded had a teammate, you know, lit you up the way seemingly Connor did to Chris?
Well, I think Chris needed it. I mean, and I love how the Murray brothers play. They're so stoic, and they're so, I think just stoic is the best word. But there are times when you got to get in somebody's backside and say, look, we need you to do more. You know, Chris had 5 points last night, and he's been great all year. Great all year. He's a first-round draft pick, but it's February 23rd, and you are our best player. We got to have you getting to the free throw line. We got to have you rebounding the basketball. You know, if you're not going to make threes, that's one thing, but do some other things. You know, there was that one rebound where he just kind of didn't go for it.
It was right really in front strange. Of him. Like, right, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really strange possession. I think Connor did the right thing.
I do too.
Everybody's personality is different. You know, I don't think you yell and scream at Chris, but you can yell and scream at Connor. But if things are going poorly, which they really are, and Iowa is now solidly on that bubble come March, I think it was the right thing. Now, when I was playing, I think Chris Street was the best at that because he always gave effort. And I think Connor does too. Connor always gives effort. He may not make shots. He may not do things. But, you know, they had said last night before things got bad, he had 18 assists and no turnovers in the last couple games. I'm just unbelievable. So they got to do something because, you know, they have to win two of these next three games.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
Yeah, they put themselves in that spot here. And that things have cratered in the past. The thing that Fran has done, we go back and we had how many conversations, Wade, talking about just individually Peyton Sanford and the struggles he was going through, and then he was able to pull him out of it with a coach like Fran. And I know you've got to know Fran throughout that. He's positive with his guys. Is he tough on them? Absolutely. Is he fired up on the sidelines? No doubt about it. But what does he do that's different than a lot of other coaches out there in continuing to instill that confidence in his guys, even when it's not going well?
Well, I think you can look at the last few games, you know, and just how it encompasses even Peyton Sanford. I mean, if you watched last night's game, well, if you saw the box score and Iowa was, what were they, 4 of 27 from 3 or whatever it was, they didn't take bad shots. It wasn't like they were forcing up threes. It's wide open looks. Now, part of that is just because you're wide open doesn't mean you should shoot that shot. You know, I think you're wide open for a reason and the teams aren't guarding you.
Right.
I think Fran has done a really good job, whether it's Peyton Sanford, whether it's the team in general. Hey, keep shooting the basketball. You are a good shooter. You are a good player. Keep shooting the basketball. Now, I do think game by game, sometimes you have to change that. You have to say, hey, look, tonight's not our night. Let's, you know, drive to the basket, try to get contact. Because that's where Iowa's good. If you look at how they beat Illinois or how they beat those, you know, quality teams, they get to the free throw line. They shoot free throws. I thought last night there were a lot of opportunities where three's wide open, but how about go to the basket, try to get contact, try to, you know, get things switched around, and they just haven't done it, especially on the road.
Guards were 1 of 15 starting guards last night from beyond the three. I'm with you. They're just not shooting well on the road right now. When you look at this Wisconsin team, I mean, how does this team beat Iowa both times, Wade? They got a couple of pieces. Wall's okay. Asijan's going to be a pain in the you know what.
Chucky's okay.
Chucky's good. Know. Yep. Kroll in the middle. He doesn't play a ton, but when he's in there, he's effective.
I just think it's a bad matchup for Iowa. Even with that press last night, that press slowed the game down. It just. How many times did Iowa put the press on, did a good job, and then took Wisconsin deep into the shot clock, but then they would foul with 7 seconds left? Mm-hmm. It just slowed the game down. I thought Iowa would try to run them, push the pace, and give Wisconsin a lot of credit. Every year you think, oh, this is the year Wisconsin, you know, last year they lost to Davis. Yeah, they're going to be down this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're a solid team, and if they get the right matchup, they can ugly it up and even win two games in the NCAA tournament. Now they're not super talented, but Tyler Wall 6'9", and he's more healthy now than he has been. That Kroll kid could be a pro. He's a really good player. Pick and pop, he can shoot it. Chucky's solid. It's two games that Iowa just did not play Iowa's game, and it could definitely come back to haunt them.
So it's Michigan State coming up. You turn the page. You're back in Carver. We know this team has looked lot different.
Saturday morning, you bet. Yep, everything's there.
Environment's going to be charged up. They're going to be ready to go. It's Sparty, and there's something special about playing Sparty. It's like when you played, it was Indiana, I think, and today it's certainly that team from Michigan State, the last team to win a national championship in the Big Ten. There's something special there. But we know that they're also going to do. Izzo's going to be working the officials. Mm-hmm. It's going to be grabbing, and they're going to be holding, and it's going to come down to the way the game is called. What do you have to prepare for? And with the struggles, that mental part of the game also going into it.
I think you just have to say, hey, we're back here at home where we've been pretty good all year. You know, the Eastern Illinois game aside, Wisconsin was a mess. But Michigan State likes to run. They do like to get up and down, not like Iowa does, but let's just still be positive. You know, again, 24 hours ago, they were fourth place in the Big Ten talking about a double bye. They're close. They're close. But I think you have to be physical. You have to at least break even on the board, and then maybe you mention, I think that it's the point now where you mention that, hey, maybe pass up a three, shot fake, and try to go to the rim. Unless you're Peyton Samford, unless you're somebody, especially one of your first shots to start the game or to start or to start the second half. It's so hard when you come into a game and your first shot's a three. Let's get to the basket. Let's try to draw some fouls, because we're to the point now where, you know, if they go 1-2 these next three games and lose that first round of the Big Ten tournament, they will not get in.
Going to be close, and this is a winnable game, and here's an opportunity to get that payback, right? It seemed like a game that Iowa, if it would have, should have won on the road in East Lansing. Best player is Walker. Would you guys agree with that? Maybe Hauser, Walker, though, the guard? Yep.
Hogard is struggling against Iowa, but he's feels like he's good every other team that he plays against.
So who gets Walker? Who gets the Walker assignment?
Tony Perkins, probably. Aaron Ulis. Aaron Ulis had 17 at that first game of Michigan State. He was really good. That's been his best game, you know, in conference all year. And
did Patrick play in that game? I don't think he did, right? Did Patrick play
He did not.
Right.
He did not. He did not. So he was on the bench in street goals. That was the one game where he was going to travel, and we thought he was going to play.
Yes.
And then he didn't even dress. So it's, you know, it's something where even Nebraska's playing pretty well. Iowa could finish 10th very easily, because there's those three bottom teams, Minnesota, Ohio State, and then Nebraska's still kind of in there. But after that, you know, Wisconsin's kind of tied with Iowa, basically, and they own the tiebreaker. So I think a double bye is out of the question. Now you just got to, you know, get things right, 11-9, get in the tournament, maybe win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament, and then you're surely in.
Wade, it's a team that is befuddling at times.
Yeah.
You're confident, though, they're going to figure it out.
I am. I think they beat Michigan State and beat Nebraska. Indiana's a tough one. They're playing pretty well. Iowa had a great comeback. I was at that game. Race Thompson got hurt, so he didn't really play at all. That's going to be a tough one. So now let's go 2-1, win that first game in the Big Ten tournament, maybe get a second one, and then see what happens. Maybe getting beat in that Big Ten tournament's not the worst thing. Let's go home, get everybody healthy, get an extra day, see what happens. But if they lose Saturday, then we got to start talking about play-in games in March. Maybe you have to get two or three wins in the Big Ten tournament. Saturday's really important. And I think Iowa, you know, again, that payback, that revenge, and I think they'll be okay. I think they'll beat Michigan State. I think they win on Senior Day against Nebraska. And hopefully they play well at Indiana.
There was no double bye last year. They played right through to Sunday, won the conference tournament, got bounced in the first round. Conversely, Iowa State will look gassed at the end of the season. They got beat in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. They had a little extra time, and we saw what happened. I mean, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing, Wade, for them to, you know, get a couple of days.
Iowa State last year, you forget, they were one more week of basketball, probably not getting in the tournament.
Yeah.
You know,
they weren't playing well at the end. You're right.
They were not playing well. And if you just – matchups are everything. Iowa State played LSU, who was a mess. You know, they just were a mess. And then they played lovely Wisconsin, who either they're, you know, really good or really bad. And Iowa's close. They're close. Now, they got to go back to what they did well, and that's make a couple shots, get to the free throw line, don't turn it over, because they have not played that way these last two games.
Wade Looking, Bill. Wade, thank you, as always, for doing this. We will catch up with you next week. Thank you, Wade Looking, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Good time. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Wade Looking, Bill, as we take another look back at last night. Michigan State, what will the point spread be? Pretty tight? I mean, it has to be, doesn't it?
Iowa will be favored in this one by 2 currently at KenPom.
When they go to Indiana.
6-point underdog.
When they come home to face Nebraska.
8-point favorite.
Do we need points on that last one, the way the Huskers are playing?
Yeah, and I'm going to guess that'll be tightened up a little bit if Nebraska continues the path.
And this is the Ken Pom?
Yes, Ken Pomeroy.
Mm-hmm.
Projected point spread, which is usually pretty dang close.
Do you have Iowa State? Can you do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Oklahoma, they'll be favored?
By 7.
Really? West Virginia?
4.
And then at Baylor, they're getting how many?
5.
Close games.
2-1 for both of them?
I'd sign for that in a heartbeat.
Yes, I would do.
2-1 for... Yeah, okay. I still think Iowa State trips up at home. Of the two.
Yeesh.
And look, Baylor's not playing well right now.
No.
They're not. And Baylor got beat in Ames to kick off the Big 12 season on the... Was it the day before? Yeah, the day before... 31st of December.
Feels like a million years ago.
It was a million years ago. We'll take our time out. Kerry Miller from Bleacher Report. We'll talk more college basketball, but from a national perspective. Who's the best team in college basketball? Who is it?
It wasn't Alabama outside of one guy last night.
Yeah, he was really good, Miller, wasn't he? Ooh.
Yeah.
Oof, he was really good.
What a difficult situation.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. I don't know the right answer. I mean, he did.
He supplied a murder weapon.
The gun was in the car. Now, he said he didn't touch it, didn't hand it to him.
Mm.
It was in some clothing in the back seat.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Hell of an excuse.
Worked. He played. And boy, made a difference last night for the number one team in the country. I haven't seen South Carolina. Are they any good?
No.
So that was maybe somewhat wearing or on.
That was one of the picks I added late.
Was it?
There's a lot going on here. I got 17 with Carolina. I was feeling pretty good.
We'll take a timeout. Kerry Miller from Bleacher Report. Trent's plays of the day. He's got a bunch of them. He's coming off a big day yesterday. 8-3?
8-3.
8-3 yesterday. He'll try and do that again. And he'll do that in about 25 minutes. Klaxon's tomorrow. Somebody reached out and asked when we're doing Klaxon's. Told that it'll be tomorrow. We will include the Drake Bradley game along with the Iowa and the Iowa State games as part of it. Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Is right around the corner.
Get in on the act with the world's largest sports book. Right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call
our radio app now.
Trent Cotton here for the Urology Center of Iowa. KXNO listeners, you may remember this.
I also want to mention Trent Condon. Listen to how excited Trent is to get a vasectomy.
I was excited, Keith, and I'm still excited today. Why? No more this around my house. That peace and quiet can be a part of your home as well. Call the Urology Center of Iowa today and schedule your appointment. 515-400-3550 or iowauro.com. And don't forget the big March college basketball tournament.
KXNO.
If you own a house...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You've got a huge asset. And everyone's looking at it. With Wall Street investors buying up homes in Des Moines and renting them out like never before, you have to wonder, what do they see in your big asset that you don't? The truth is, If you sell your home instead of renting it, you can kiss your asset goodbye. Especially with today's higher interest rates, the best way to save your asset is to rent it out instead. Does renting make your asset look big? Yes, it does. Especially when you hire the professional landlords at Renter's Warehouse. DIYing your property management is a total pain in your asset. But with Renter's Warehouse, you never have to find tenants, collect rent, or handle pesky maintenance calls again. Don't lose your asset. And stop busting your asset trying to manage it yourself. Go to RentersWarehouse.com to book your free home rental price analysis today. Or call 515-528-4429. Renter's Warehouse. You can't buy happiness.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Must be getting to the end of the college basketball season because Kerry Miller pops up in our Rolodex to get a hold of, to talk about the brackets, to talk about college basketball from a national perspective. BleacherReport.com is where you can read them. And you can hear them right here with us right now. Hello, Kerry, Trent, and Ken. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well.
Good to speak with you again, and thanks for finding time for Des Moines. We appreciate it. So Trent and I have asked this question over the weeks, and it seems like there's a different answer a lot of who is the best team in college basketball this year, Kerry Miller?
What day is
it? Right? Yeah.
Prior to, we'll just call it the off-the-court development at Alabama, mm-hmm. It was starting to feel like they were the best team, and they had the rough showing last night against South Carolina. I mean, I would say the toss-up between Houston and Kansas right now. I think after the home loss to Temple, we all kind of sort of forgot about Houston since they're playing in a league where none of their games really matter. They are this year's Gonzaga. We only pay attention when they lose.
Yep.
But, I mean, they got some first-place votes to begin the season, I believe. I mean, they've lived up to the hype. They're great. And they're going to have home court advantage pretty much in the Final Four. So I think they're probably the team to beat, though Kansas does have quite the stockpile of quality wins.
You know, talk about the Purdue team, it's Edie inside. And it always seems to come back, though, to those freshman guards. Do you trust them to put together six consecutive wins? In a wide-open field, you could see it, but it's also Purdue. I mean, there's a lot of scar tissue there with that program. They've made it Final Four since 1980. And think of the number of regular season titles, great teams at Katy, and now Painter have had throughout the years. That's still lingering there. Where are you with this Purdue team?
Yeah, of the four, pretty solid 4-1 seeds right now, and I think they are clearly the least trustworthy of the quartet. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of it is just because it is Purdue. Like you said, they seem to fall short all the time. Those early losses to North Texas and Arkansas Little Rock in recent years, even though they've had guys like Edie, AJ Hammond, Haas, like they always seem to have that dominant big man. And then, like you mentioned, the freshman guards, I wasn't worried about them until about 3 weeks ago, and now they are consistently struggling away from home. So we'll see what Smith and Lawyer able to do down the stretch for them.
Kerry, speaking of struggling away from home, so this time last week, I'm trying to convince my partner, Baylor's the best team in the country, and they play Kansas, and you just wait, Condon.
And then I bought them, and I got them for the Final Four and a national championship
and
ticket.
I did the same. I went and got more of them, and through the first 20 minutes in Lawrence last Saturday, I think, and say, I told you! And then, my God, is it falling apart as they got this run out of the gym in the second half. And then K-State handled them relatively. Look, they had a big second half as well. So two good first halves for Baylor in the last two. But just, is it fatigue? What has happened to Baylor this week?
I had a piece this week, the Achilles heel for every top 10 team. And I did not realize this until putting that together. But Baylor's front court defense is awful. Like, they're in Big 12 play, I think the only team that hasn't shot at least 55% on twos against Baylor was West Virginia. Mm. Like, for whatever reason, they just cannot stop the interior attack. And I thought getting Everyday John back, I thought that would help. But if anything, they seem to be worse now than they were a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, that's something I'm really concerned about. But I was with you. I was starting to feel like if getting Chama Chachua was going to improve their defense, they did feel like possibly the best team in the country. And then they just had that awful second half against Kansas, and I don't believe it anymore.
Nor do I.
Absolutely not. Hey, localize it here
at least
a little
this
bit.
Week.
Iowa and Iowa State both kind of going through a rough stretch right now. Who do you like better to pull out and maybe make a run to the second weekend between the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones?
I would lean Iowa State because they're more defensive-oriented and Iowa's more offense-oriented, and that's usually, you know, the defense-good, offense-questionable teams. They tend to make runs like Iowa State did last year, but the teams that can score 80 on anyone but also allow 90 to anyone, they never seem to make deep runs. I think the UCLA team with Lonzo Ball and company, that was what they make the Sweet 16 before getting knocked out by Luke May and North Carolina. So that's pretty much the exception to the rule. Usually they're out before the first weekend. So I'm at a point with Iowa where I just refuse to trust them in the tournament until they prove me otherwise.
No, I don't think that's crazy. So you mentioned North Carolina. What is crazy, preseason number one, they may not get in the tournament. Has that happened before, Kerry?
I'm not sure. I remember when they quickly dropped out of the rankings for like 4 weeks, I looked it up, and it was I think it was the only team to ever go from preseason number one to out of the polls within the first 10 weeks of the season. Jeez. Ever. I think the previous fastest one was like UCLA some point in the 70s when they only ranked 10 or 15 teams. So this is uncharted territory for sure. And I mean, I don't think they're going to get in. Even if they win out, they would beat Virginia and Duke at home. Mm. Certainly the Virginia squad won. The Duke won, maybe. I think Duke is 30 in the net right now. Either way, it's a good win, but it's not a marquee win. It's not your standard year victory over Duke. So I don't think they're going to have enough. They're, like I said, even if they win out, I think they're probably entering the ACC tournament on the wrong side of the bubble.
So as we get ready for the brackets, you do the bracketology over at Bleacher Report, and I do not envy you at all in that exercise that you go through week after week and put this together in the bubble, time in and time out, and what it looks like. But I was playing around on Torvik the other day, and I was sorting over the last month. And the best team in college basketball over the last month is not Kansas, not Purdue, not those teams we're talking about. It's the Aztecs of San Diego State. Mm. I've seen them a couple of times. The Mountain West is pretty good this year. They haven't had a whole lot of success. Am I missing something here with San Diego State? Are they, they maybe will have a 5 seed, maybe win a game. I don't see them playing at that kind of level. Am I missing something here with the Aztecs?
Yeah, I think that's probably, excuse me, a frog in my throat, skewed a little bit because they had that 20-point win over Boise State at some point last month. So that certainly helps their metric. But I was surprised that they weren't even mentioned in the selection show or the top 60 reveal, because I had them solidly on a 5 line as a potential 4 seed candidate, and they weren't even one of the four, you know, also teams mentioned. So I don't know what the committee wants to see from the Aztecs, that they're just not paying much attention to the Mountain West since they lose early in the tournament every year. I don't think that actually has anything to do with it. But, San Diego State's good. They're better than they're getting the credit for, that's for sure. I am surprised to hear they're the best over the course of the past month, but I think I kind of understand it because of that one outlier victory over the Broncos.
Kerry Miller, Bleacher Report, is our guest. Kerry, give us a team or two, if you could, that you're keeping an eye on, that you think, you know, they're this seed here, but this is a team that's about to get hot, or this is a team that, for whatever reason, scuffled a little bit, but clearly have an opportunity to turn it around again. Who would those teams be if you have one on top of mind?
One for me is Villanova, and they are not an at-large candidate. They're 14-14, but since getting Justin Moore back, they're only 4-4 in their 8 games at full health. But I mean, they almost won the home game against Providence. They almost won at Marquette, almost won at Creighton. Like, they're there. They got that win over Xavier the other night. They have a home game against Creighton where they really proved that they're back. I think even if they win out, they're not going to be an at-large candidate. Like I said, they're 14-14, but they could easily win the Big East tournament the way they're playing right now.
So a team that I'm intrigued by is Arkansas. Nick Smith is back. He came in, played a couple of minutes early on, a couple of losses for Arkansas since. He's played 32 minutes in a big win against Florida. They throttled Georgia. Now, neither of those teams are very good, but this Arkansas team certainly is talented, and Musselman's teams seems like they're always peaking come March. What do you think about the Hogs and a team a little bit deeper down the seed list that maybe can make a run and get back to another Elite Eight for Eric Musselman?
Yeah, I was quite high on Arkansas, late November when they were playing well in the Maui Invitational. Didn't have Nick Smith yet, so it was like, oh, man, we haven't seen them at their peak. But they've just been banged up. Lost Trevon Brazil shortly after that. And like you said, Smith's been, I think he's played, what, 8 total games, probably 3 in the last 2 months at this point. But, yeah, I have a hard time trusting them. I mean, I've been viewing them more from a bubble perspective over the last few weeks than as a legitimate Elite Eight or Final Four contender. But it as we've been discussing, nobody's elite this year. So if you get in, you've got a chance to make a run.
Valley's a one-bid league. I mean, you have to win the tournament in St. Louis next week to get in. I guess I'm thinking Drake or Bradley are both really good teams. They'll decide the one seed on Sunday, but they have to win. There's no way that there's no pathway without doing so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the A-10 and the Valley are in the same boat where the conference tournament would be great, but it's probably one and done.
Good stuff, Gary. Hey, always appreciate your time. No, you got to go pick up the little one. Thanks for joining us, and we'll ring your bell a couple of more times here before we
count
get the
on
big
that.
Bracket.
Hey, sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Gary Miller, BleacherReport.com. I was hoping to give us a couple more teams other than Villanova. That we are allowed to bet in the state of Iowa here. Villanova to win the Big East. That's going to be a decent price. I mean, they're way down.
Yes.
Is Creighton catching your eye at all?
A little bit. They're a completely different team when they are out there with Kalkbrenner.
He's 7-footer.
When we know that he's out there. That 6-game losing streak, he wasn't there.
Right.
So they're different. But watch a little bit Tuesday against Marquette. It was a good game. And Blue Jay fans are crying about whistles and knock it off. Mm-hmm. But that aside, they're good. In this year, though,
there's nobody good.
There isn't.
Nobody outstanding.
Nembhard can win games for you in the tournament.
I'm not saying just for Creighton. This is, if you've got a team you like is 20, 25-1, this is the year to take a shot.
And this is going to be so matchup dependent. I mean, this bracket, this is going to be a year where I like to at least pretty solidly have, I like to work backwards. Final four and go back and go that way. Look at the bracket, who would I like most, and then work my way backwards from there. This year, I'm going to have, I mean, I usually have 4 or 5 different brackets. I'm going to have 12 different ones. It just because it's that wide. There's so much variance.
Where are you going to find time to do this? You're starting the week at Disneyland or World.
Kids will be sleeping.
Okay, you just wear them out throughout the day.
Exactly.
Run like men, and then go to bed and dad
sorry,
works
kids,
on his bracket.
No Space Mountain for you. Dad's got to fill out another bracket.
So are you going to Florida or California?
The Florida one.
Florida.
The World.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's right next, you know what is on that complex down there?
Well,
the Braves training camp.
The Braves is there, yeah.
And there's a bunch of basketball complex.
Right.
That's where the bubble was, wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
The NBA bubble was was down there. But the Braves spring training, it's a palace,
is
man.
It?
Oh, Jesus.
The last time I was there for any kind of baseball stuff, went to...
Oh, you'll be there during spring training.
I will. Kissimmee.
Yeah,
and
the home of the Astros.
Yes, that's where I stayed. We stayed when we were down there, but
spring training home of the Astros.
I was like 10 or 11, something like that. And my big deal, it was Shaq's rookie year. So we went to a Magic game. That was the thing that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then I came back and told all my buddies that I was in the same room as Shaquille O'Neal.
Kinda.
Which technically was
right.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Same room.
There's a roof over both of your, the same roofs over both of your heads.
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah. They bought it.
Not really.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Kind of a BSer, so.
Well, you're good at picking games, and you'll do that for us next. Circa Sports sponsors our final segment, Miller and Condon. Murph and Andy coming up in 16 minutes. The Drive with Heather and Sean today, 3 till 6. As always, it's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Our radio app now.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book. Right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Trent's Pick of the Day is brought to you by Circa Sports. Download the Circa Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
Miller and Condon, welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hope you played with Trent yesterday, 8-3. Were you kind of spinning your wheels, if I recall, earlier in the week?
I was, a couple of 500-ish. Yeah. I think that's where I was.
One game, I think Monday you were one above, Tuesday one below 500, yep. Something like that. Well, you got it together. Let's see if you can put them back-to-back. What are you playing?
We got 11 plays again, so we're right back to the well. And you can always follow along with my picks on the Action Network app. If I add anything throughout the course of the day or into the evening, you can follow along there.
And you bet all of these, too. It's not like,
I do. Yes. Yeah, yeah, I can. People want to take a look at my Circa account, you can see pretty much every single one of these. The thing I also love about what they do at the Action Network, I have a lot of sports books. I got a lot of them. We've talked about a few of them today, and it tells you what the best number is. So if it's a half point difference, that very well could be the case. So certainly in college basketball, it comes down to free throws. If you're on Boise last night, they missed 5 of their last 6 free throws.
You're kidding me.
Boise chucked one in at the horn and covered the number. Those kind of things happen, and those half points, they add up over the course of the year. We're going to begin 5:30. I know your TV will be here.
Ohio State.
Penn State, Ohio State. You know my love of the Nittany Lions.
You
I can't
like
quit
them,
this team.
Yeah, I know.
Give me the Nittany Lions. I'm getting 2 against the Buckeyes.
Like me and the Chargers.
Right. Who's got a better chance? Penn State to get a Sweet 16 or a Super Bowl for the Chargers?
Chargers.
No, not even close. You're way off. Wagner, how about the Seahawks? We're going to lay the 3 tonight in their matchup up in the Northeast Conference. Going North Carolina A&T. We're digging deep here, Ken. That's how you get 11 picks on your card on a Thursday. The Drexel Dragons are laying 6 tonight against Northeastern. We'll hop aboard there. Give me Oakland, another team I really like in the horizon. They're not going to win the regular season crown. They're going to be in the top half, though. Had a nice ticket at them. Better than 9-1 before the season. Not going to get there, but we're going to jump back with them at home tonight against Wright State. St. Francis, I always put this caveat, you know I play both St. Francis's. This is the Pennsylvania one tonight. Take St. Francis. They're getting 2.5 against Fairleigh Dickinson at home. How about Nicholls State on the road? They're laying 4. We're going to Milwaukee. No, not the Bucks. UW-Milwaukee. The Panthers minus the 2 against the Matadons of Purdue-Fort Wayne. Weber State. Herald the Show Archibald. There's a way back machine for you. Plus 2.5. Pacific plus 19 against St. Mary's. And one other game that people might actually know, at least the names of the teams. How about Washington State? Wazoo getting 2 against Stanford. Quite the slate. There's some ugly.
You're all over the place.
Yes.
None of the Big Ten games other than the opener catch your attention. That's what I'm going to do. I'll probably watch a hockey game early.
Okay.
Big Ten Network at 8 o'clock. I want to see the Big Ten tilt. And it should be. It should be a tilt. Illinois hosting Northwestern.
I would lean Northwestern. It almost, it's one of those that feels really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Missing something here. Illinois at home. Need the win. Northwestern has those 3 straight wins. But all of them, remember,
were at home.
They were all at home.
Yep, they were all at home. Good ones, but all at home.
And again, that caveat, in the Big Ten, it has the best home record against the spread this year of any conference is in the Big Ten. Home court matters the most.
We are done for the day. Appreciate you spending some of your morning and into the afternoon with us. Murph and Andy are coming up here in about 6 minutes. The Drive with Heather and Sean, 3 until 6. We're Miller and Condon.